Did it just get hot in here? She's a hot mess. A hot, hot mess podcast. Hello, degenerates, and welcome back to another episode of a hot, hot mess podcast. My name is Haley, and I am a hot fucking mess. It is a rainy, gloomy day here in the PNW. I have zero fucking motivation to get out of bed. I hope you are matching my energy. Let's just chill and chit chat. Today's episode is definitely going to be on the spicy side. If you have a weak stomach, if you don't like hearing about things like sex or sex work, this episode is not for you. Thank you for checking in, but I will see you next week. For those of you who are still here, I'm glad you stuck around, and let's get right into it. So this week's topic, I really want to talk about sex work. Now, when I say that word, I know that people's minds tend to go wild. They think we're just out here pounding it out to get as much money as possible, and it's just not the case. There's a lot of different avenues for sex work that people don't even think of, and it's really not as dirty or as scary of an industry as people think it is. So I really want to bust some myths that are surrounding this industry and talk about my personal journey thus far as a sex worker and some of my horror stories, which, just a warning, they can get real nasty. So if you have a weak stomach, this is your chance. Bye-bye. So what is sex work? Well, it's really anything where you sell sex or sexual content for money. So it can be anything from selling your nude pictures or videos. Strippers are sex workers. If you have an OnlyFans, you're a sex worker. If you have sold feet pictures, you're a sex worker. Sugar babies are sex workers. And what we call nowadays full service sex work, which back then we would call prostitutes. There's so many different avenues that you can go down that are considered sex work. My personal journey as a sex worker has been a really positive one so far. I started out as a cam girl, and I also used to sell my nudes when I was 18. And it really just helped me stay afloat with my bills, having my own apartment for the first time, and I struggled a lot financially, so I turned to camming. Then I got married, and my ex-husband was not very comfortable with it, so I decided to leave sex work. Right before him and I split, we were going through a really hard time financially, and I suggested me going back to camming, which he agreed to, and I've been basically doing it ever since. Now, for those of you who don't know, camming is live sex shows that you can perform either with a partner or on your own. Mine are always on my own, and people tip you or pay you to do certain things. You see them a lot in porn websites like Pornhub or Belisa or really anything like that, and they are super, super popular, especially now. Another avenue that I chose to do a little less than a year ago regarding sex work was I sell used goods. Now, what I mean by that is I sell my used underwear, used unwashed chonies. I also sell things like bras or stockings, sweatshirts, yoga pants, gym clothes, even the more obscure items like face masks, toothbrushes, vials of spit. Yes, people buy that, and they spend a lot of money on stuff like that. And that's how I've been able to stay afloat during the pandemic, especially because I've been laid off twice in the past year. And had it not been for camming and Panty Deal, which is the platform that I sell these items on, I don't know where I would be. I know I wouldn't have this house that I have. I wouldn't be able to pay my bills or stay afloat. It has been a really positive experience for me and has helped me gain a lot of the independence that I have now. It has definitely been a hard journey at times. I think because I'm so open and honest about being a sex worker, I've been met with a lot of backlash, especially from family members. And I get it, they worry. But that's a big reason why I wanted to make this episode this week, is to just really shine some light on what the industry is actually about. Of course, you really have to be safe when doing this. Your safety safety should be the number one priority to you. Don't give out your personal information. Always use a screen or stage name. Your address needs to remain confidential. I don't even tell people what state I live in. I always make up a different state every time I talk to someone. You really have to take your safety as a priority. You have to take it seriously. Because even though majority of the people that you'll meet, buyers or sellers, are fucking amazing. I mean, these people can just be so wonderful, so accepting, so loving. You also have crazies who can turn into stalkers. So that's why it's important to just really be safe. If you are thinking about having an OnlyFans or becoming a cam girl or anything like that, if you already are a sex worker or if you are just curious about it, I'm going to give you a couple tips that I wish I would have known beforehand. Tip number one, make sure that you have a great sense of self-confidence and self-worth. If you are like me or how I used to be and you seek validation from other people, you can go down a really dark path where you actually start getting addicted to all the attention and all of the compliments. I did that for a minute, a very hot minute. And I snapped out of it very quickly, but I also had started a journey on working up my self-worth. So it didn't take me long to snap out of it. But I've known some sellers who are on panty deal pretty much 24/7. And they don't have a life outside of that. And it's mainly due to them being addicted to the validation, because you have thousands of buyers on there coming to your page, looking at your pictures, messaging you, telling you how beautiful you are. You're a goddess. I want to buy this. I want to buy that. And it's great. It's a great feeling to have people tell you that you're beautiful. But if you don't have that worth within yourself first, it can be a not so good thing. So make sure that you have not only a great sense of self-worth and confidence, but also a thick skin, because there are trolls. There are people out there to just be fucking dickheads. We can't control it. So just make sure you have a really thick skin. Tip number two. I already kind of touched on this, but safety, 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 safety. It is your number one priority. You need to have a stage name or a screen name. Don't have anything in the background, whether it's pictures, videos, live camming, whatever it is. Don't have anything in your background that has any of your information on it or anything that is identifying, whether it's something outside of a window or anything like that. Make sure that you're really focusing on what's in the background. Don't ever give out your real name. Don't ever give out your address. If you are on something like Panty Deal where you're selling an actual item, on the shipping label for your address, just copy and paste their address or like a police station address or whatever, like a Walmart address. It literally doesn't matter. Do not put your address. Also, put your screen name on there. I've seen a lot of people make that mistake where they put their actual legal name and then a fake address or whatever. No. If you're gonna promote your site or your pictures or your cam room on social media, please make sure to create a separate account. Do not start promoting it on the Instagram page that you have had since you were a freshman in high school, because believe it or not, Instagram shows all the usernames that you have ever had on Instagram. So if your username used to be Ashley Smith and that's your legal name, it is so easy to go back and look at that. So please just create an entirely different account. Don't put any of your actual information on there. Make sure that safety is number one priority to you. Tip number three, it is okay if you do not offer every single service that other people offer. There are going to be things that you are going to be asked to do or sell that you are not comfortable with. And it is okay that you don't offer those services. For me personally, I don't sell anything with human waste, whether it's urine or scat or anything like that. The only thing that I'll really sell is my spit. And there is nothing wrong with that. Do people still ask me for it? All the time, every day, constantly. Even though it says in my bio, here's what I offer. I do not offer these things. It doesn't matter. They want what they want and that's fine. But here's the beauty of it. There's so many sellers out there. And as of right now, it is such an over oversaturated industry that they're going to find someone else who sells what they're looking for. It's just not going to be you. Now, if you are one of the sellers who pretty much offers everything, that is wonderful. More money for you. I salute you. You do you. But if you are uncomfortable with the way that a conversation is going because they're asking you to do something that you don't want to do and they don't respect that, it is okay to block them. I know when I first started out, I wanted to really appease everyone. I wanted to do everything that I could do because I really needed the money. And I did some things that I wasn't 100% comfortable with, but I really needed that money. Looking back, I would have never done things like that. I would have never sold the things that I sold, which if your mind is going wild, I sold pee cookies, okay? It's not that serious. I put a little bit of pee in cookies and I sold it, okay? Don't let your mind run wild. But yeah, I mean, I didn't really have those boundaries set up. I didn't really know how to tell people no because I was just building. I was just starting out my shop and I really wanted the reviews. I really wanted that reputation so I could have more buyers come in and buy the things that I actually wanted to sell. That's not the way it works. Because the moment I sold those cookies, I had so many more people asking me for them and I just wasn't comfortable selling those again. So make sure that you have your boundaries. Even if you have to block 100 people, it's still 100 out of thousands. My next tip, know your worth. And I mean monetary value. When I first started out, I priced my underwear or videos or whatever goods I was selling pretty comparable to everybody else. I did not make a single sale for the first 3 months I was online. So I got frustrated and I marked down all of my items, very inexpensive. And they started selling, but it wasn't worth the time, it wasn't worth the effort. And so I bumped my prices back up. And I talked to other sellers about this, and they've all done the same thing too. And it's not something that I recommend. Know your worth. And this can go into anything. If you're a cam girl and you have a tip menu, don't sell yourself short. Now, of course, you're not gonna rack up the prices like, oh, I'll take my shirt off for $100. That's not how any of this works. Do your research, look at other sellers' profiles. See what they're charging, how long they've been on Panty Deal or whatever, and create your prices comparable to that. You are going to get a lot of hagglers, scammers, and time wasters, especially on Panty Deal. And this just kind of comes with the territory. When someone tries to haggle me, I simply tell them, hey, sweetheart, this is not a swap meet. This is my shop. And if you don't like the prices, you can go elsewhere because they do not set the prices, you do. So just know your worth. So now that I have given you guys some tips, I want to break down some of the good things about being a sex worker. I think why talking about this is so important to me is because I'm out and open about being a sex worker and I have gotten a lot of backlash. And once again, that kind of comes with the territory. I know a lot of sex workers who don't tell people. They don't tell their friends, they don't tell their family. Some of them don't even use their face if they're just selling pictures or videos. And that's totally your choice. I know that if you don't show your face, you don't make as much money, plain and simple. But it's always been something that I've been really proud of because I think it takes a whole lot of balls to send naked pictures or to do sex shows or really any type of sex work. You have to be a really confident, secure person, which is something I've always prided myself on being. So I didn't think that I would get as much backlash as I've gotten. And when I did, it was really surprising, especially since I grew up in the world of sex work. I grew up in a world of strippers and Hooters waitresses, which it's kind of controversial. There's some debate on whether people who work at places like Hooters or Tilted Kilt or Twin Peaks are sex workers. I personally do say that they are in the sex world-ish. They are selling sex in order to get more money, and I think that's amazing. But some people like to debate that. But regardless, I grew up in a world where sex was very open. It was very much talked about. I saw a lot of things. I saw the women in my life be open and secure within their sexual energy. And sure, some of it may not have been great, But it definitely helped me to be confident and secure within my own sexual energy. So to get so much backlash on it was really hurtful and really shocking. And I know my family listens to my podcast, so maybe I'll get in some trouble for saying that, but it's the truth. And I don't lie on my podcast. I like to be very open and honest with you guys. So that's why it's really important for me to talk about the positive aspect of sex work. One of the number one things that it has taught me is to be even more secure and even more confident within myself and my sexual energy. Being able to tell a buyer or a customer, I am not comfortable with this. You are pushing my boundaries. Setting boundaries with anyone, period, will make you feel more confident. If you are someone like I used to be, where I didn't set boundaries with people because I had a very people-pleasing mindset, when you get out of that mindset and you shift your thought process and you do start making boundaries and enforcing boundaries in your life, there is no better feeling. And you feel like you are a bad bitch because you are. It's hard setting boundaries. So to be able to do that in the sex industry helped me to do that in my real life. And just a little side note too, I do want to talk about boundaries in another episode, but I just want to say, if you're in the process of learning how to set boundaries and not be a people pleaser, I'm really proud of you. Just remember, it's one thing to say a boundary and to set a boundary, and it's another to enforce it. What I mean by that is I can tell someone, this is a boundary. You are not respecting this. I can say that until I'm fucking blue in the face. But if I don't follow through with those consequences, if I say to someone, hey, you talking to me like this is a boundary, and if you continue to do so, we will no longer have a relationship, and then they cross that boundary, and all I do is say, hey, this is a boundary, if you continue to do this, blah, 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 they don't care. They're going to keep pushing that boundary because you're not enforcing it. So that was another thing that I learned through sex work as well, is to not only set a boundary, but to enforce it, to follow through with it, which in turn helped me in my relationships with my family, my friends, my relationships, my dating life. Starting sex work and learning that that's a really important part of being a sex worker helped me realize that it's also a really important part of being a fucking person. The other part of sex work that I was not expecting was the sense of community, the sense of camaraderie. I've never really been, at least not in my adult life, I haven't been someone who keeps a lot of friends. I can count on one hand how many actual friends I have, how many people I could call and say, hey, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and they would come and help me, or hey, I'm struggling, I need to talk, and they would be there. I don't really have a lot of friends. And so when I entered into the sex industry, the amount of sellers that reached out to me and they're like, hey, let me help you. Hey, fix this, or hey, do this, or hey, I'm here if you need any support, has been amazing. A lot of these girls and guys who are sellers are some of the nicest, most understanding, most supportive people. I have never had someone hype me the fuck up like a sex worker. When I've posted a new picture, the amount of messages I get, like, oh, bitch, look at that ass. Oh, you look amazing. Like, that has been such a wonderful aspect of being a part of this industry. Just being around people who get what you're going through, who understand the job that you do, especially if you don't have friends that really understand. I'm lucky because the people that I keep in my life do understand, and they do accept me, and they do accept this job. They may not 100% agree with it, and that's totally fine, but I can come to them with my horror stories and be like, oh my God, you'll never guess what fucking happened, and they're all ears. But it just makes it that much better that I went from having two or three friends that I can talk to about this to now having hundreds of friends that I can go to and vent stuff about and get some things off my chest or ask questions. And if you have a friend who's a sex worker and they feel comfortable enough to come to you and talk to you about some things, or even to just tell you that they're a sex worker, please try to be understanding. Please try to open your mind to this industry, even if you don't agree with it. The last thing that your friend needs is a fucking lecture about any moral issues that you may have with it. Because as long as they are being safe, sane, and consensual, it's not your fucking business. And it can be a really amazing job to have. So that being said, we are going to get to the meat of the story, the pièce de résistance. I'm sure the reason majority of you have stuck it out this long. We're going to talk about my sex work horror stories. Now, I'm going to give you another disclaimer. I am going to tell you some nasty shit. If you have a weak stomach, if you don't think you can handle hearing stuff like that, please exit now. You have been fucking warned. I'm gonna start a little slow, ease you into this so I don't scare you away right off the bat. So my first horror story, I had just become a cam girl again. So I was 24, 25, I think, somewhere around there. And I was doing my first live show. I had my room all set up. I was super excited. I'm on there. And some guy came into my room. That's what they call it when they click on your picture, you know, coming into my room. And we're talking. Everything is great. He's tipping me. He's telling me to do things. He's paying me for all this stuff. I'm having a freaking blast. And then I go to end my session. I was done for the night. I end my show. And he had paid me a really decent amount of money. So I go to cash out. It won't let me cash out. Every time I hit the button, it says error. So I go to support and I message them, and they said that there is a charge dispute from that customer and he is trying to get all of his money back. I was fucking pissed. This guy was in my room for hours telling me what to do. I mean, getting a full fucking show. And then he had the nerve to dispute every single charge. And this was not like a little bit of money. This was a couple hundred dollars. I want to say this is like $300 to $400 that this guy had paid me. So I reach out to support. I let them know that that is 100% not correct. He's been in my room for at least 2 hours-ish. He had me do all of these things. That's why he paid me so much, is because he kept telling me to do things. And every time you ask me to do something, I'll let you know the price. So the site that I used to be on before I'm on the one now, and if you're curious about which site I'm on, I absolutely love it. They have insurance, they have protection for the cam girls. Reach out to me, let me know if you're interested. I will give you all the details. But this site that I first started on was a little shady. It was not the best site. You could tell when you went on there, but it was really fast money. And there really weren't a lot of rules like there are with the new site that I'm on. And that's why I wanted to start with that one, find a following, and then bring them to a classier site. So because it was a little bit more janky, there wasn't any performer's insurance. So what that is if somebody has a charge that they're disputing, they won't take it away from the performer. So we still get our money, and then they'll just give that money back to the buyer. So we still get paid, but the buyer has a higher chance of continuously coming back. Now, of course, there are ups and downs with that, just like any industry. If you give in to somebody who's disputing a charge, chances are they're a scammer. You see this a lot in the food industry as well. They want something comped, or they want a free this or a free that, and they do it every time they come, and that's why they continue to come back. But I didn't really care. That was their business. At least I'm still getting paid with the site that I'm on now. But it wasn't like that on my old site. So I had to somehow show proof that this person was in my room, but I don't record any of the shows that I do. It's all live. So basically, I had put in fucking work for hours, was so excited because I had secured that bag, I had gotten that money, and then it just got taken away from me in an instant. And as much as I talked to support and I tried to find a phone number to call, which they don't have one, and I tried to fight that. I tried to fight it so hard, and it didn't matter because at the end of the day, I still lost out on about $300 to $400. And at that point, all you can do is find this person and block them from ever coming into your room again. So after that incident, I took a couple days. I didn't feel like camming anymore. I was really fucking pissed. And that was when I had decided, you know, being on this site just really isn't worth it. I had reached out to a couple of the performers on that site. They said it's a constant thing, that it is always happening. Fuck that. I'm not gonna sit here and put in all this work and not get paid for it. So I was only on that site for less than a month, and then I switched to the site that I'm on now, where I don't have to deal with bullshit like that. So on to story number two. I'm doing a live show on my new website, my new platform, and this person comes into my room. We're talking, we're having a great time. He's tipping me, we're doing some pretty mild stuff, and all of a sudden he private chats me, which it's on the same screen, but the other people in the room can't see it. And he proceeds to rattle off an old address that I had had. He started telling me some of my personal information. It wasn't completely correct. He didn't get my last name correct or the spelling of my first name, but there was an old address that I had long, long time ago. Well, about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago. It was the address that I had when I first moved out to Washington, and I haven't lived there in quite a while. But let me tell you, when I say I almost shit my pants, I almost shit my pants, you guys. I went white. I immediately ended the show. This was actually pretty recently too. This was maybe a few weeks ago, maybe like a month and a half ago. But I instantly stopped the show. I freaked out a little bit. I cleared everything on my computer. I disconnected from my Wi-Fi. I mean, I'm not super techie, so I don't know how things like that work. At that point, I had no idea how he had gotten my old address or anything like that. So I'm just freaking the fuck out. And when something like that happens, especially when you're an online performer, I honestly did not know what the fuck to do. So it came out actually a couple days ago that this person was actually a friend of mine, or I wouldn't say friend, kind of like an acquaintance. This person that somehow found me on this site had known me when I lived in that house. And so they messaged me and they were like, hey, I meant to message you earlier, but like when you were performing, that was me. So I was really happy to know that it was just a friend trying to fuck with me. But like, woo, child, I have not felt fear like that in a long ass time. But I was thinking for like a month, oh, this is it. This is how I go. I got my own personal Buffalo Bill. They're gonna come into my house, make me rub the fucking lotion on the skin. I was freaking out. So it's nice to know that it was just someone that I had known, you know, when I lived in that house. But shit like that does happen, can happen. It's very, 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 very rare, especially with websites like the one I'm on. They take every precaution that they can, and the performers do as well. We don't use our real names. We don't give out information. And I don't really know 100% what goes on behind the scenes when it comes to the website, but I do know that they have certain things in place, so it's really, really hard to hack any of the systems or anything like that to find out any information. So had I put two and two together, I probably could have figured it out sooner that this was a friend fucking with me, but you know, the fear just kind of took over. So the next two stories are going to get a little more nasty, for lack of a better term. They're going to be a little more intimate. There's your final warning. I was doing a custom video. So a buyer had reached out to me, asked me to do very specific things within this video. All these things I was comfortable with, and I agreed. He paid. I started recording the video. So what he wanted was me to use a glass toy. It's pretty common to get that request. I think that they're just more aesthetically pleasing, and some guys don't like to see a penis, whether it's real or fake, in their video, and I totally respect that. So he picked up my glass toy, and I'm doing my thing, doing my business, and I don't know if it just really turned me on or if I had way too much lube, but all of a sudden I go to put it like far in, and then it's fucking gone. This is the part where you cringe. It was gone. I had put it too far up. And if you know me in person, you know that I have tiny fucking hands. So it's not like I could have shoved it way up in there. And the angle I was at, it just, I don't know what the fuck happened, but all of a sudden, it is shoved all the way inside me and my little tiny hands can't fish it out. This is one of the ones where it didn't have like an end to it. It wasn't like a suction cup dildo or anything like that. It was just a regular glass dildo. So I'm fishing for this thing and I'm panicking because I can't get it out. I get on my feet. I'm trying to like bounce up and down to get it out of me. I'm trying to shove my hands in there, which I can't grab anything. There's lube all over me and it's slipping and sliding. I cannot pull this thing out. So I start crying, like fucking bawling my eyes out. Thank God this was not a live show. This was just a custom video. But I start freaking out. I go to my bathroom. I'm sitting on the toilet. I'm trying to push this thing out of me. Nothing is fucking working at all. So I go into problem solving mode. I wipe my fucking tears and I get to business. I'm like, all right, bitch, we got to figure something out. We cannot go to the ER. I refuse to go to the hospital with a dildo in my body. I will not be that bitch. So I grab string that I had and somehow I like make a loop, push it inside of me. I don't know how, but I got it wrapped around the end. I tried like 100 times to do this. Finally got it to catch and I pull it out. And the fucking victory dance that I had when I got this thing out. Oh, that was the scariest like 30, 40 minutes of my entire life. So I go back up to my phone and I realize that I had been recording the entire time. This is the funniest fucking video. I still have this video on my phone. It is fucking hilarious. I was half tempted to send that video to him. I didn't, of course, but I watched this thing and you can hear me while I'm in the bathroom crying and cussing and doing everything that I can to get this object out of my body. It's fucking hilarious watching me have a full-blown meltdown. But yeah, that was the time that I almost got a glass dildo stuck in my body. I was also really terrified too because I've heard horror stories of those things breaking. I almost did not get a glass one because of that. But I've heard horror stories of girls or guys having it inside them and it fucking breaks. So I'm like, oh my God, one swift motion and I'm gonna have a way bigger issue on my hands. But it didn't break. I fucking MacGyvered that, pulled it out, and it was wonderful. Now, moving on to my fourth and final story. This one still sticks with me. Now, I've had trolls in my room. I've had fucking rude ass people message me about the dumbest shit. I've had people insult me when I refuse to do something that they like. But for the last one, my number four story. And once again, we don't kink shame. I totally understand that everyone has different tastes and preferences. I'm not out here to yuck anyone's yums. But why this person made me so upset is because they did not respect my boundaries. And it made me so uncomfortable and actually physically fucking nauseous. And I can handle a lot. I'm not a very squeamish girl, but this definitely got to me. So this guy messages me. We're talking for about 30 minutes or so. Pretty normal dude. He's looking to buy some underwear. And then he asks me if I want to hear about his fantasies. And I learned from my past mistakes that you need to get paid for that. If someone wants to tell you about their fantasies or you want to swap fantasies or anything sexual, you need to tell them that they have to pay. Because these people will continue to go and go and go and they will not leave you alone. So right out the gate, you have to set that boundary. So I told them I would love to hear all about your fantasies. However, I need you to pay me so we can have a little virtual fun. I didn't hear anything back for about 15 minutes. So I figured he didn't want to pay and just left. 5 more minutes. So 20 minutes after I had sent that message, this dude sends me an entire fucking novel about some of the nastiest shit I have ever fucking heard. He has a scat fetish, which I talked about before. It's something I don't do. That is a huge boundary for me. Had he told me that's what he wanted to talk about, I would have absolutely told him no. But this dude, without my permission, without my consent, proceeded to send me paragraph after paragraph after paragraph, like in a row, boom, 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 about all of this stuff. Now, chances are 99% of the stuff that he was saying was fake. He would say things like he has cameras set up around his house that his family doesn't know about. He watches his sister go to the bathroom and shower and things like that. Just really creepy shit. And then he proceeded to tell me, warning, this is very graphic, his scat fetish stems from his mom, who used to shut off the water so they couldn't use the restroom properly, used to give them laxatives, and then put a bucket in their room. So they would then fill the bucket with their scat, and she would, in front of them, rub it all over her body. It still makes me fucking sick. Ugh. Ugh, it makes my stomach turn. He then would go on to say that she would use the contents of that bucket as a lubricant when she was intimate with other people. Oh my God. So that information combined with some of the other stuff that he said, I knew that majority of this shit was fake. But what pissed me off is he did not respect that boundary. He did not pay me to send me that information. I stopped reading about halfway through, but that is something that will definitely stick in my head for forever. I did end up messaging him back and kind of ripping him a new one, asking him what the fuck was wrong with him. And then I just proceeded to block him. But that is a horror story that I don't think I will ever forget. I do and I don't wish that I would have screenshotted this, because it was so insane, some of the stuff that he was saying. And I don't know if he actually gets off on the whole scat thing, or if he gets off more on the non-consent, because I know that that's a big kink for people too. And I'm not just talking about CNC, because that's a completely different thing. But there are people whose kink is to do things or say things in front of or to someone without their consent. And I think it was more so on the line of that. He liked the fact that I didn't consent to receiving these messages, and he went ahead and sent them anyway, expecting me to read the entire thing, which I told him I didn't read probably over half of it. But I think it was more along the lines of that. But that is definitely the horror story that I will never fucking forget, was just the absolute disgusting story that this person told me. I have had other things happen, you know, like my boss has accidentally stumbled across me camming or accidentally sending my nudes to the wrong person. But to me, that's not really a horror story because most of the people in my life know that I'm a sex worker. So it kind of comes with being a friend. Sometimes you get an accidental nude. Just take it for what it is, delete it, and move on. But I hope you guys enjoyed or at least stomached this episode. I know it was kind of a crazy ride. As always, thank you so much for your love and support. You guys are amazing. It's so nice to just sit down and be able to share some of the crazy experiences I have gone through. If you like this episode, make sure you hit that follow button below. Share me on your social media. It really, really helps. If you have any suggestions, I do have my email address in my bio. Feel free to send me your own stories or topics you want me to talk about. Feedback is always welcome. And as always, I will see you next Tuesday. Bye, bitches. We'll be right back.